Gospels right now this morning and turn to Luke chapter 21, and we're going to be there only for a moment. We are in a message entitled today, What in the World is Going On and What Happens Next? What in the world is going on and what happens next? And it's part of our Get Ready series. And as I said a little while ago, it all has to do with us just getting back from our trip. And there's so much going on in the world, church, it's hard to keep up with it all. And I want you to know something right now before you're tempted to go into some sort of a panic. By the way, did you see the news this morning? At shortly after midnight California time, Indonesia was rocked by what they think is a 7.4 magnitude earthquake. And they're trying to get information out of Indonesia. Indonesia, the largest Muslim nation in the world. And just a few days before that, on the other end of the string of those islands of the South Pacific, an earthquake struck, and other aftershocks are expected to strike again. Earthquakes, difficulties, volcanoes, civil unrest, rioting, Greece on the verge of collapse as we sit here this morning. All the things that are taking place, I want you to be thinking for a moment, because the temptation, though it is dwindling, the temptation still might be within your head and your heart. Well, these are just, there's always been days like this. There's always, no, I tell you what, buddy, things are really starting to ramp up. And I want to announce to all the Christians this morning, listen, these are our days. Every time the ground moves, every time something happens that causes someone concern, these are our days. You see, what do you mean by that? Listen, our God has given us the Bible. We've got the answer. People are scared. People are asking questions. You're going to see how so in a moment. But all around the world, nowhere, there's terrorism. There's natural events taking place. There's radical weather events taking place. Unrest, as I mentioned. Wars and rumors of wars. I want you to be thinking, because I understand that when you come to church, that you want to have a warm and fuzzy injection, and I understand that, and then go out into the world where it's all bad and ugly. I understand that. But better yet, how about if you get prepared for the bad and ugly, so that when the bad and ugly hits, for the believer who understands, God says, I told you there'd be days like this. There'd be days like this. Jesus said, there'll be days like this. So what in the world is happening? So the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at that. Luke chapter 21, verse 25. Jesus said, and there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. Well, that hasn't happened yet, but keep your eye up. Now watch this. And on earth, distress among nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. The word that draws our attention to Luke 21, 25 immediately is the word perplexity, because it is almost as though it was written in today's newspaper, but it's 2,000 years old. The word perplexity, Jesus says, nations will be in distress with perplexity. That word means, listen, to be left without resources, to be left in wanting or in need, embarrassed. The word means to be in doubt or fear, to not know what to do or which way to turn. Jesus said that in the last days, nations will not know which way to turn. And we cannot deny that right now, as you and I sit here on this Sunday morning, nations in Europe are already dealing with Monday morning's problems, and they're huge. Europe is in trouble. We've just come from Europe, and it's in trouble. And yet, remember, Christian, these are awesome days. And listen, I'm going to say it. It's going to offend somebody, but I hope you know that it's coming from a heart of love. These are tremendous, awesome days. So, church, you and I need to just decide right now to grow up spiritually and stop being so carnally petty about things that don't matter. Amen. Well, you know, he said, she said, forget it. The earth is shaking. Volcanoes are burping. Amazing things are taking place. Get your eyes on Jesus, my friends. Church, listen, I have no jurisdiction. I don't have to stand before God regarding any other church except this little church that's gotten too big. Is You keep your eyes on Jesus. Focus on the Lord, because the earth is moving. Things are shaking. Geopolitically, with nations and their borders, financially, geologically, yes. Atmospherically, yes. The Bible says in Romans 13, verse 11, do this, knowing that the time, that it is now high time to wake out of our sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. In other words, you know what? It's another Sunday. We're all back together again after a long journey. My goodness, some almost 16,000 plus miles. The Lord brings us back together. And we are one day closer to the coming of the Lord. Amen. Think of that. You say, well, I don't believe he's coming. Well, that's tough. You're one day closer to seeing him. Well, I don't believe in him. Well, you will one day. You'll see him. And so my motive this morning is found in Scripture. In Jude, verse 20, Jude said, but you, dear friends, you must continue to build yourselves on the foundation of your holy faith and continue to pray as you are directed by the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, live in such a way that God's love can bless you as you wait for the eternal life that our Lord Jesus Christ in his mercy is going to give you. Show mercy to those whose faith is wavering and rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Think about that. It is absolutely now time to stop what I've been saying for these last few months is spectator Christianity. It's over. Time's up. It's time to get in or out. It's time to follow Jesus or go somewhere else and do something else. The earth is shaking. The world is coming unhinged. And so we go to our first point this morning. It is this, jot it down. What's going on and what's going to happen next? Well, number one, jot it down. It's the most important thing of all. Stop. Number one, stop. Stop the growing ignorance of biblical truth. Like never before, churches are departing from teaching the Bible. In an age when there should be more Bible than ever before, churches are getting into bingo or ping pong or 12 steps to how to feel better or this, that, or the other instead of the Bible. Church, it's a dangerous time. What's going on is the propagation of what I call lazy faith. Unable to defend your faith. Don't even know what you believe in. These are dangerous days. And so with all that's going on in the world, do you know how to overcome the times that are being placed upon us? Christian, these are our days. These are amazing times. And so what's going on in the world? The Bible tells us that we're in good company if we are watching and we're ready with Bible open, as it were, and newspaper open, as it were, together because of the current events. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, that the sons of Issachar, that was one of the great tribes of Israel, that the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, knew what Israel ought to do. And that really speaks to my heart today. Because look, I mentioned a moment ago that we are presenting classes to you on how to parent, how to discipline, how to encourage, how to raise your children, how to spiritually lead your home, so that you might know how to raise your family. But listen, what about our city, state, and federal leaders? How can America find its way home if it doesn't know where it's come from? And how can a Christian home or a Christian church survive unless it knows the God that made them? These are critical days, and we need to stop the growing ignorance of biblical truth. It's a perilous time. Jesus said it this way, and I love it. And by the way, I pray this for you. I pray this for this church. Revelation 3, verses 7 and 8. Jesus said unto the angel of the church at Philadelphia. Anybody know what Philadelphia means? Good. Brotherly love. And to the church of brotherly love there in Asia Minor or Turkey today, I know your works, verse 8, he says. Look, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, because you have a little strength, and you have, watch this, kept my word, and have not denied my name. You know what's interesting about that? If you want, listen, look at that verse. If you do not want to deny the name of Jesus, there's only one way to not deny his name. By the way, keep that verse up on the screen. Fine print. If you're going to name the name of Jesus, if you're going to mention his name, if you're going to say you're a Christian, okay, you have not denied my name, there's a qualifier to that. The Greek construction of Revelation 3:8 has a qualifier. You've not denied my name, you can answer this way, because you have kept my, what?
Word.
Why do we spend an hour in the Bible on Sunday morning? An hour? You mean I'm going to be here for an hour? You can go now. Make room. There's people trying to get in. Keep his word, you honor his name. Depart from his word, you deny his name. And my heart grieves because there's a spiritual, yes, spiritual movement in the world today to put down the Bible and pick up something else. And it's a dangerous time. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, Paul said, "My brethren, do not be ignorant." That word means uninformed. The word implies that with the information before you, pick it up and consume it. Take the Bible and read it. Understand that biblical knowledge right now will be your only defense against the days and the age in which you and I are entering. Unbelievable times. So what's going to happen next? Well, one of the things that's going to happen next is this. Because there is a growing ignorance of biblical truth, oh, listen, Romans chapter 1, verse 24 says, God will also give them up to uncleanness. This is in their mind and in their conduct, and in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchange the truth of God for the lie, and worship and serve the creation rather than the Creator. One of the great things about divorcing yourself from biblical truth is that you will worship something. And the Bible says that in the last days, church, are you with me? In the last days, people are going to worship creation. Now, I got to tell you something. Before you think I'm some sort of an anti-environmentalist, I love the environment. I think it's cool. My God made it, by the way, and I'm boasting in him. I've got bird seed all over my backyard to attract all kinds of different kind of birds. And if you've come to my house, you know that I look like an idiot sometimes just looking out my window, watching those birds. And I have a little book. That's one of those. My daughter said yesterday, "Dad, what? I just saw a bird and it looked like," and I said, "It's a rufous." She goes, "How do you know?" I said, "Because it's time." They're migrating right now and they're in my backyard. You guys, maybe I should just have you come over and take a little tour. We have 5 band-tail pigeons, largest pigeons in the world in my backyard. Largest pigeons in the world. You know what a normal pigeon looks like? That's nothing. Why do I say that? Because my God did that. I don't say, "Oh, mighty band-tail pigeon." My God made whales. For me to have some sort of a spiritual rush because I see a whale surface and grab a breath, worship that? Why would you do that when you can worship the one who made that? Why stop there? And yet the Bible says because of biblical ignorance, nature is going to be worshipped. And we're seeing it all around the world right now. I kid you not, go online, you can read it. It's absolutely hilarious. There is a proclamation of faith in Mother Earth, and you are supposed to raise your hands and make a pledge to Mother Earth, and you are to apologize to her for upsetting her. That's why she's vomiting volcanoes. You laugh. I'm not kidding. This is a touchy topic. And that's pathetic because the Bible says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, that in the last times people will not endure sound doctrine. Worship the God who made it all. So stop. Number 2, expect a universal breakdown in governments, you guys and gals. What's going on and what's going to happen next? Worldwide leadership's failing. It's failing around the world. Governments are failing. Amazing. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you'll have no need that I should write to you." That is a theological goldmine, my friend. If you are a Bible student, 1 Thessalonians 5:1 is an amazing declaration. Do you know what it means? It means nobody knows the day or the hour of the Lord's return. But concerning the times and the seasons, we're going to know. Really? Yep. "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say," not you, When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon who? Them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But if you keep reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you will read about those who do escape. And it's about those who are discerning the days and the times in which they live. Is it interesting that there's a universal breakdown taking place in governments around the world where people, listen, where governments that have been the backbone of a nation's founding, I'm not just only talking about America, I'm talking about all nations, where own government leaders throughout the world, and I'm not just talking about America, are giving up on the core values of what made it a nation. They're dissolving. Why? Because worldwide leadership's failing. By the way, I believe it's biblical, because the Bible says that there's a man that we call in the Bible the Antichrist, who's coming, who will bring answers. And the scriptures say in the book of Daniel that he will deceive the world through peace and prosperity. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're watching the news today, there's a great crisis regarding peace and prosperity in the world. Are you saying, Jack, you know who the Antichrist is? I don't plan on knowing who he is. But if you're asking me, do I think he's alive somewhere on planet Earth? The answer is, yeah, I do. I think we're living in the days that is going to see some amazing things. And number one, I hope we're out of here before this service ends. I hope Jesus comes for us. But in Luke 21, 25 and 26, verse 25, we read a moment ago, that there'll be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars, and on the earth distress among nations with perplexity, having no way out. But look at verse 26. Men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming upon the earth. Now, you and I may not think much about that, but I guarantee you right now, people down there just across the border in Mexico, when they had that big earthquake a little while ago, we've already forgotten about it, haven't we? What about Haiti? What about Chile? Now, Indonesia. Have you ever been in a big earthquake? I'm just using an earthquake as an example. I grew up here in San Diego, so earthquake. I'm a Californian. Earthquake. When you have an earthquake and it's of significant size, for us it's got to be 6 or better to even get in the ballpark, right? What's your next thought? What are you thinking? When's the next aftershock? You start batting down the hatches, so to speak, don't you? You make sure your tennis shoes are right alongside your bed, don't you? You check all the water, check your water heater. Think again, way of escape. You get ready. God is sending us warnings, church. The world's gone mad. The Bible says in Matthew 24, 12, that one of the signs concerning the last days regarding a breakdown in government is global unrest. Jesus said, and lawlessness will abound. People not obeying the law. And he said, and because of that, the love of many will grow cold. People being attacked, wounded, broken down, while others walk around that suffering person on the street or take photographs of that person bleeding to death instead of trying to help. In our day, last week in New York City. How can this be? It's not a time to panic. It's a time to understand our God said that there'd be days like this. We're not to be like that. But we need to understand that there's a breakdown taking place in global governments. It's not just Greece. As you've watched this last week and a half, it's not just America and the Constitution. It's taking place all around the world. Number three, that means we ought to be watching. Watch. Watch the need for a worldwide financial network. We need, I'm speaking carnally minded now, I'm not talking as Christians. We need a global financial network. We have some pictures to show you. I'm going to ask you to take a look at these things. In watching and having the need for a worldwide financial network, keep this in mind, that what we are experiencing is a meltdown of global economies that the world has never seen on this scale. And it's interesting. Greece, for one thing. We've got Greece going on. Now, check this out. This is not a joke. This is for real. This is out of the pocket and before the camera. This is a Greek euro, the euro dollar. This is a $2 Greek coin. Anybody seen anything interesting? Anybody read Revelation 13? Is that a woman? I mean, if you can't figure out if that's a woman, you got serious problems. You see what she's writing? If you ask any European, who is this? Wow, that's a Greek euro coin. Who is this? Well, in Europe, that's Europa. She's a goddess, and she's riding Zeus. And the story goes, he takes her all around the world. She conquers the world riding Zeus. He's actually abducted her, and he's taking her on a global ride around the world. Zeus. Isn't it interesting that it's a woman riding a beast on a Greek coin? Is there any connection? I don't know. Is there any connection, though? Who's the guy that thought, you know what? Let's put this on her coin. But is there any connection between this and the near collapse of Greece? And we don't know what's going to happen with Greece right now. Are you familiar with what's happening? Greece is imploding financially. There's rioting. People have been killed. Greece is in trouble. Spain is in trouble. Did you know that Spain's going down financially? Portugal. Many of us just came from Italy. Italy's going down. The United Kingdom is in a state of crisis. Germany and all that. Listen, Germany financially is going down. The next one in line, by the way, is not a country. It's called California. It's the next one in line mathematically. You're sitting in it. Spain, look at this. Just squeaks or just gets by out of this crisis, but it remains. And if you keep reading, Spain's in trouble. Greece is going down. The European Union doesn't know what to do. They don't have the money to bail out these states of the EU. Can you guys back up? The European Express, the future of Europe is at stake. That's a rioter in Greece. Turns deadly, it says there in the fine print. Next slide. Washington Post, bottom left-hand side, Greece's debt pain sparks violence. Why in the world? Listen, look at these young guys, by the way, and that's key. According to the Greek National Security Agency, this is very sad. These guys are going after that cop. Why? Because their financial situation's collapsing. But no one's starving to death yet in Greece. No one's doing without yet in Greece. What's happening? According to Greece's National Security Agency, they are reporting that opportunity to riot has come about because of the financial crisis. People looking for opportunity to start or create civil unrest. Next slide. Remarkable. Look at the streets in Greece. People have died. And this nation of Greece is in peril. And there's others, by the way, in line to fall. Next slide. If you have some slides here. Okay, Jerusalem Post, bottom left-hand side. Greek. Day of rage turns deadly. Very, very dangerous time in which we live. Look at those streets of Greece. Mayhem. Church, we're one moment away in America from things like this happening. Some say things like this have kind of happened already this week. In places like Los Angeles or Arizona. Amazing times in which we live in. How secure are you? How safe are you? I can just tell you this. I thank the Lord that the Bible tells me that there will be a time in this world that of unprecedented insanity taking place, but my Jesus is on the throne. But the Bible says at a time when the world is in mayhem and violence and at a time of financial destruction, a false Christ will come on the world scene. The Bible says in Revelation 13, 16, that this man who comes will cause all people, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. And that no one may buy or sell except one has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who understands calculate the number of the beast. It is the number of a man. And his number is 666. Isn't it interesting? The Bible, 2,000 years ago, is saying there will come a time when transactions monetarily, you will not buy, you will not sell things unless you have a number. Not cash, not a dollar, not a euro, not a peso, a number. I talked to a U.S. Marine being deployed on a covert operation who was implanted with a chip in his right hand. And he said, "Did I receive the mark of the beast?" I said, "You absolutely did not." That's going to be a number that has to be willfully accepted. You will have to willingly accept that number. Personally, I don't plan on being here. I plan on Jesus taking the church out of here. But check this out. Technology and the times in which you and I live in may very well dictate. Who's to say that, but maybe next year, I don't know, maybe 10 years from now, that everyone will have a chip in their right hand or a Verichip, or it's like a piece of membrane on their forehead, unseen, invisible, for numerical or transactions in a financial world. That's the only way that you'll stop human trafficking, the drug issue, and terrorism. Dry it up numerically. Isn't it pathetic that I can take out my telephone as you can take out yours? You can take out your cell phone and Google Earth can track you down anywhere in the globe any second. If you don't know that, then you don't know how to use your phone. Did you know that your phone is always on? I said, "Nope, just turned it off." You think. Amazing time. And yet the Bible says that there's an age coming. Number four, prepare. What's going on and what's going to happen next? Prepare for an escalation of natural disasters. Do I even need to talk about this one? I don't think I need to. I'll just tell you this. Why don't you go home on your computer today and take about 10 minutes to search large-scale natural events and see how many of them have happened in recent years and how it's escalating. Number five, No, the global warnings are increasing. Global warnings that God has given us in the Bible. Church, are you with me? You're quiet. Global warnings given in the Bible are increasing. And we'll look at a few of these things right now. Number one is this. Man's inability to cope with issues is very, very alarming to me. When I talk about global warnings increasing, the part that kind of scares me is that we have a culture in the world that doesn't know how to cope with hardship. Look, I'm going to radically date myself. But when I was 9 years old, my dad grabbed me by the shirt on a Saturday morning and he marched me down to some little office, at a park, and signed me up for football. And he said, "You're going to play football." He didn't say, "Would you like to think about it? How do you feel about that?" He said, "You're going to play football." And so I played football from 9 years of age all the way through. You know what? I can now say I'm grateful for every second of that. Did I hate it? Many times I hated it. Man, we got cussed at. Cussed. I'm talking cussed at. Spit on. I had a coach from Dallas, Texas. And he chewed tobacco. And he got mad at me one day, and I was about 14 years old, and he went, whoosh, boom, right in my face. You know what? You may think I'm nuts, but that didn't make me to be retarded or anything. Okay, I don't have a limp because of that. Do you know what? Listen to me. This is brutal. You got to hear this. We have grown up children who don't know how to cope with adversity. Kids say, "I want it." And mom and dad go, "How do we get it for them? How do we get it for them?" Parents, learn to say nope. Nope, can't have it. Ah! Go sit in the corner and do that. Learn to say no. You got to do it. And guess what? Can you imagine this earthquake is moving all the way over to the junior high ministry buildings right now? I can feel it. Did you hear what that lunatic just told our parents? Tell them no. Tell them to work hard. Tell them to take out the trash. And listen, contact sports is okay. You're not going to turn out to be some, you know, Terminator or something. Because here's the thing. Difficulties cause you to deal with life. Hardships make you stronger. And when somebody says, "This marriage stinks, I'm out." No, you can say, "You know what? We can work through this." That we surrender too quick. We give up too easy. See, what do I say all that for? Because we need to know that these global warnings that are increasing, it's going to get harder, church. He tells us this in the Bible because he loves us. And you and I will make it if we keep Christ the center. But the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:1, know this, that perilous times will come in the last days. The word perilous times, the word means this in Greek. Watch this. It's a craftsman's tool. Do you know what a planer is? It means perilous times will wear people and their faith down. We can't succumb. We need one another. In our Christless culture, we are now raising up people incapable of dealing with the difficulties. And it breaks my heart. Listen to this. You want to get out a pen. You want a great cure. Here it comes. This is awesome. Frankly, I don't care if we make it any further today than we get past this verse right here. It's amazing. Philippians 4:6. Get ready. It's going to be on the screen. Watch this, you guys. You want to stop nail biting? You want to stop having an ulcer? You want to stop spending money on Melanta and Tums, or I don't know, Rolaids, or whatever that stuff is? Want to have some peace? Want to sleep at night? All right, here you go. This is it. Follow along with me. Be anxious for nothing. Hold it right there. Pastor, you're driving me nuts. This message is terrifying me to death. And you just said, be anxious for nothing? You're only terrified if you don't know Jesus. Amen. So, insert. Know Jesus today before you leave the building. Watch this. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Say, that's impossible. You're correct. Totally impossible. Let's keep reading. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Stop right there. If we would stop gossiping, calling people, and watching the days of our lives and decide to pray instead, guess what would happen? Our lives would change. We'd stop worrying about stuff. It doesn't matter how much you tell Susie about your problems. Susie ain't God. You will supplicate. Supplicate? Does that hurt? You will begin to cry out to God. You'll begin a dialogue with Him. With thanksgiving. It's a supernatural work that He does in your heart that is honestly cannot be explained in this world. Let your request be made known to God. Hang up the phone and tell God about it. And the what? The peace of God, which surpasses all that's human understanding, will guard, military term, garrison, your hearts and your minds. What is hurting you today? It's your heart and your mind. That's what's hurting you. My doctor told me, I have an awesome doctor. I love the guy. He's not a Christian yet. But I love him. You know what he told me? He said over 75% of the ailments of people I see is stress-related sicknesses. I said, well, explain that to me. He said people get stressed out and their immune system gets worn down. Then they get pneumonia. Then they get this bowel syndrome or this whatever it is. Isn't that interesting? Wow. And it's all done, by the way, through Jesus Christ. That's how it's done. Yeah, it is impossible, but with Jesus, it ain't. Number 6, understand this. Understand the coming rise of ethnic divisions. This is tragic. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verses 6 and 7, you'll hear wars of rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. The end's not yet. For ethnic groups will rise against ethnic groups. Word in Greek is ethnos. Nations, nation, nationalities, peoples will rise against people. Not Russia against America. That will happen. That's political powers. This is ethnic groups dividing up into groups. I'm going to say something. This is not going to go over well. I have a real problem. Listen, I'm predominantly Portuguese with a little bit of German, a little bit of English. That's my problem. It's not your problem. I was born the color that I am. I was born in the place that I was. I leave that up to God. But when we talk about a day, as Jesus warns, that there's going to be ethnic divisions in the world taking place, I understand that in the world. Do you understand that? Jesus says that all the whites are going to get into one group, and all the blacks are going to get in another group, and all the reds are going to get in another group, and all of the, all everyone in their groups. And it's going to escalate into horrible divisions. I have a real hard time with that happening in a church. I think it is sin. I think it does damage to the Word of God. When the Bible tells me that there's neither male nor female, free man or slave man, rich or poor, but we're all one in Christ, I have a hard time. If I were to put a sign out in the front of this church and it said, the first church of white people of Chino Hills, how would you like that? How would you like it if it said it's the first black church of Chino Hills? How would you like it if I put a sign out front that it said it's the first Asian church of Chino Hills? How would you like that? Is Christ divided? Yet the Bible warns. Paul says, you know what? I'm upset with you guys, he says to them in Corinth. He says, I'm upset because some of you say that you're of Paul and you're of Cephas and you're of Apollos. Well, I'm a Lutheran. Well, I'm a Methodist. Well, I'm Calvary Chapel. Well, I'm this. You know that's carnal. You know what brings us together right now, at least it better, is that Jesus Christ forgives sins and we come to the foot of the cross. I don't care if you're purple or from Mars. If you understand that, then we're one in Jesus Christ. I don't see your color. You shouldn't see mine. Do you think how's it going to be in heaven? How do you think it's going to be in heaven? Well, those are all the white people are. Black people are over there. Red people are over there. Do you think heaven's going to be like that? Oh, I can feel the mail coming. Global warnings. Let's get back. Show some slides before I get shot. Fox News. Are all these earthquakes normal? Look at the question box that we blew up for you. The United States Geological Survey Earthquake Center, Golden, Colorado. The number one question they've been getting lately is this, the end of the world. Look at the next box. I received a call from a psychiatrist who is getting an influx of patients who are really concerned about the end of days. Next slide. Wow. Can you imagine? Oh my goodness. Wow. Next. That's chilly. Next. Hey, this isn't getting hardly any news at all. This is right now. This is Nashville. We might have to go help our brothers and sisters in Nashville. Warning signs. Globally. Look at this. These people are not alive anymore. This is the tsunami in Thailand. That's the ocean. You guys, what if you tomorrow went to the beach and that happened? What about this? This is, last week? 2 weeks ago? This is the volcano, April 17th. See the lightning bolt? The volcanic eruption creates its own weather. Are you ready for this? Leave that slide up. This is unbelievable. I shouldn't say unbelievable because the volcano throws up rock gases into the atmosphere, creates its own weather, forms its own clouds. Negative and positive ions hit one another, creates a lightning strike. Lightning strike hits the dust and the gases in the atmosphere and then begins to throw down on the ground something called brimstone. And you and I live in the 21st century. Man, that church of yours, fire and brimstone. This is Europe a couple weeks ago. Our flights for the Israel trip, we had to go around this stuff. Look at that. That's a poisonous cloud, you guys, a couple weeks ago. Look at that guy. That cloud will kill you. It's got poison gas in it. Look at the cattle. Look at that. Wow. Amazing. So, Jack, you're scaring me to death. I don't want to scare you to death, but I just want to tell you, my Bible's pretty awesome. It's pretty cool. It tells me about this stuff. Really big time. Number six. I have to go fast. I'm in trouble. Number six is this. Understand this, that there's coming ethnic divisions. We've already covered number six. Let's go to number seven. Number seven is a ray of hope in the midst of this depressing message. Rejoice, you guys. Against all odds, Israel remains. Guess whose economy isn't hurting? Hello. Guess whose economy is flourishing? Guess who's making money hand over fist? Israel. Amazing. I'm not at liberty to tell you regarding Israel's natural gas discoveries. I'm not at liberty to tell you Israel's oil discoveries. I can't tell you about how Israel can defend itself against its crazy neighborhood that wants to kill it. Can't tell you. I will say, though, that against anti-Semitism, against attacks, against UN resolutions, against Barack Obama telling Netanyahu, tear down your settlements. Nope, Israel will remain. God says in Amos chapter 9, verse 14, I will bring my people back, my captives, my people Israel. They shall be built. The waste cities shall be inhabited. They shall plant vineyards. They shall drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. I will plant them in their land, and no longer they shall be uprooted from the land I have given them, says the Lord your God. Amos chapter 9. God said it, and Israel is flourishing while the world is coming apart. God said it. On and on we could go. Number 8, anticipate. Anticipate a large-scale war in the Middle East. It will most certainly involve Persia or Iran. It will definitely involve Lebanon and Syria. In Matthew 24, 6, Jesus says, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Number 9, discern. Discern that there's a growing obsession with spirituality, but not for the good. Truth, by the way, always gets in the way of aberrant unity, and I love it. But there's a real problem taking place around us in the world. Regarding spirituality, you guys, I'm not saying this to poke fun, I'm not being mean, but there's stuff that Oprah Winfrey says, and because she says it, people make it a religion. And if you can get her to endorse your ant farm, you're going to become a billionaire, right? And when she says spiritual things, like she endorses the book The Shack that supposedly describes God, wow, is that book biblically in error? But she says it's cool. And people are going to side with that over biblical truth. On and on it goes. Watch out when you get your theology from Al Gore's Gaia. Gaia? Hey, Al, what's Gaia? Our mother. Well, who's your mama? He says the earth's his mama. Be careful. As you can tell, I know this service. We got people out in the hallway. I'm doing everything I can to get you to not come back next week. You see? I'm joking. This is truth. And we need to have this. Number 10, it's prayer. Pray. We need to pray against the departure from faith and reason. People are giving up on faith. This breaks my heart. People are giving up on reason. Literally. I'm serious. You guys, listen. Please understand something. It's really cool. I want to encourage you. How many of you are your mid-50s or under? Just raise your hand. Can you? No, okay, no ladies will raise their hand. And we know that all women in here are 29 years of age. But check this out. We're almost done. Anybody 50 and under, raise your hands. Okay, a lot of you. I want to encourage you right now. I know my back hurts in the morning and my feet don't work right. My brain, you know. I understand that part. You know what? It's really great getting older as a Christian. It's really good. Because God just gives you, he just calms you down. And you look at stuff and people are like, and you just go, man, my Jesus, he said it'd be like that. It's good. So I want you to know something. I want you to know that he is the Lord God waiting to hear our prayers. Are you troubled by these things at all? Or do you know anybody who is? You need to pray for them, but keep this in mind. Faith and reason, when times like this come, you guys, only through God do times like these filter people. filter the church, for example. You know, this church is being filtered right now, and I am watching it, and I'm thanking God for every minute of it. I never thought I would ever be able to say such a thing. But with all the stuff that's going on, you guys, we have never been, God has never given us a bigger door to preach the gospel around the world than as of today. Now watch. He has, you guys have been stepping up that children's ministry wing. That thing is going to get done. You watch, God is doing it. What are the attacks huge? The attacks are huge. Is the temptation there to defend yourself? Big time. God said, don't you dare, Jack. When the press or the media calls me and says, don't you have something to say? The Lord says, shut your mouth, keep quiet, because if you start defending yourself, then I'll let you. If you be quiet, I'll defend you. Amen. Okay, Lord, then you do it. So watch this. I wouldn't change a thing. Why? Because all of us together are getting ready for the kingdom. He's coming. Listen, Osama bin Laden said that the Jewish nation must cease to exist and the West needs to be destroyed because without the West, the Jewish nation cannot survive. Well, first of all, he needs to get out of the cave. Do you remember who I'm talking about? Osama bin Laden. I mean, who? He needs to read more, like the Bible. And he said in that letter in 2008 that every Jew needs to die because he has no business being in the land. Okay, listen, I know a Jew, and he's coming back to the land. He says it's his. And listen, ain't nobody going to stop him. That's the great second coming. But before that happens, he could come for us today. Before that happens, you need to accept Christ. Man, I'm telling you. You look at what's going on in the world and its face. I can't believe I'm saying this right now, but I think it's time. Make sure your Bible's open, though. Open your Bible and turn on the news. With Bible open and the things we've showed you from this week and a half. Greece coming apart at the seams. Rioting, volcanoes, earthquakes, floods. Does he need to show us anything else? How are you with God right now? Are you ready? Listen, I'm not boasting in the flesh. I boast in Christ. I'm ready. Okay, if there's a trumpet blast going on, I'm going up. Because he rocks. He's awesome. I'm a bum. But he saved my soul. My wife's going up. She loves Jesus. My kids, they're ready. Are you ready? You better be ready. You say, well, I'll just wait to see if all this stuff happens, and then I'll see. Yeah, really. Good luck. Because that's all you got. I've been pretty sarcastic today because I feel really good. But I've been trying to lay it down pretty heavy to get you to feel that the world, can you sense the world is unhinged? And I thank God that we're on a rock. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name that if there's anyone in this building right now, they're mad, they're angry, or they don't like what they saw on the screen about oceans taking people away. The earth opening up and spitting flames out of it. This is amazing stuff. But it's our day to announce that this was all prophesied in Scripture and Jesus announced, if you come to me, I will never turn you away. Lord, you're the one who said that you would die on the cross for our sins and remove that you would actually apply your blood to the poison of sin and that you would neutralize it. And then for anyone who's willing, they could come dive in that pool. But you won't push anyone. You won't trip them. And my friend, right now where you're at, will you receive Jesus Christ? Will you say to him right now, Lord, forgive me of my sins? If you're the God that wrote all this stuff in the Bible, and you're the God who says that you love me, then I want you now. And my friend, right where you're at right now, you say yes to him. And in a moment, we're going to sing a closing song, and people are going to leave and go on their way. But we want you to grab a Bible. There'll be Bibles right up front here. You grab that Bible. And you start reading about the one who loves you and the one that tells you not only about the past and the present, but your future, because he died on the cross for your sins and mine. Thank you, Lord. We commit our lives to you, Father. To whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. I pray right now for those suffering in Indonesia as we speak from this massive earthquake. Those in Nashville area. The wars and dilemmas that are taking place. Father, we pray for our president and our Congress that they would open the Bible and read it. Lord, I pray right now for Barack Obama that he would pick up a Bible and read it, and that you change his heart. Yes. Lord God, maybe, I don't know, use one of his kids, his wife, I don't know. I know, Lord God, that there's a born-again Secret Service agent inside that house right now, and I know he's praying for that family. God, I pray that you just do something profoundly wonderful in the midst of these things of this world. And I know you're wanting to do that now in this life that's calling out to you right now. My friend, he will, as you invite him now into your life. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Church, let's stand as we close in this song of worship together. Let's praise his name. We'll see you Wednesday night as we gather for our study in the disciplines of life. God bless you. My soul secure.